Okay. So, since it's our values and it is already there on the website and it's already there on the Facebook, so I'll not ask you to guess which topic it is, but it's about character today, the value series. And everybody knows about character, right? Everybody says, oh, this person is of a good character, this girl is of a good character. Okay. So now, unlike other Sundays, I would like the audience also to be proactively involved in the sermon, okay, so that we don't sleep off and then press the snooze button. Okay, she land. Okay, so what I would like you all to do is a small activity where, say, for example, you have opened a startup company, okay, of whatever passion you are, whatever you're passionate about. So you have opened a startup company and you want to give an advertisement in the newspaper or on a social media platform. How would your employee look like for the employee you're looking for? I know it's about character, but what will you look for? Can you think and discuss with your neighbor? You can discuss and then we can shoot out the answer. I'm going to ask those who are not discussing. You are not the employee, you are the employer. Okay, you are the employer. You have opened a startup business. What do you want your employee to be? How do you want your employee to be? Okay, time up. The advertisement agency is asking you for the ad. Okay, so now Arnold is very excited. Arnold, why don't you tell us how is your employee going to be?
You for that. First of all, he should be loyal so that he will respect the company's values and integrity. Second thing will be he should be dedicated towards the work. He should have the passion to drive the startup because startup needs it will not be famous. It will be made famous by the employees who work for it.
Now you know. Now you know who's in the process of starting a startup.
It's just a startup, it's a small roadmap, relationship is here, so can't be caught in
Good, good, very
the
good. Thank you so much. Okay. Chinnangi, you want to say either of you? He has to do that extra hour or extra mile he has to do. Okay. Good. Anybody else wants to volunteer? Yeah, Manoj wants to volunteer. Okay, Manoj will say what his startup will look like and how his employee is going to be.
Mostly his skills.
Skills.
Okay. After that, whatever you're doing is his problem. Because to develop the company, I want his skills.
But if he remains absent for quite a prolonged period, it's okay.
But if he's completing his work on time.
Good. So he needs to complete his work on time. Nathan, come on, since the mic is on with you.
Probably an experienced employee, person who knows how to start up, who has done it before.
Thank you so much for this advertisement. Salary will be less. Yes, salary. Joel, you want to say something? So yes, so that's what character looks like. Okay, so whenever we look at people, we want excellence. We want them to be this and this and this and this. Okay, but to build that character, okay, it takes ages. It takes say experiences. It takes skills. It takes a good upbringing. But for people who have not had a good parenting or good ambience to grow up, we don't know how their character would be, but over the period of time they would develop it. So character is one thing that can always be developed. Okay, till death we develop our character. So that is one learning that we can take with this today's sermon, that character is always developed. And today we are going to talk about godly character. But before we look into godly character, we'll see what is our website speaking about character. Why do we need character? We believe that godly character above natural gifts, talents and abilities is the key to success in life and ministry. Our goal is to help build godly character into the lives of all members of the church as they pursue their destiny in God. So, if you are an RHC, that means we are developing our character. Okay, so no matter what background we've come from, no matter what experiences we have had, we will either rub it on each other or we will train each other or equip each other with godly character. Okay, so now what does this godly character looks like? Okay, what do you think can be there in the godly character? Since you opened up a startup, you needed XYZ characteristics. But to be a godly person or a person with godly influence or godly personality, we need to see what does the Bible say about it. A godly character. Okay, can someone read this out? Who can read it? Who has the mic?
Brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
Yes, and Colossians
2:5. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight. To see how disciplined you are and how firm.
So, what are some of the things that we see here? Whatever is honorable. Okay, so we need to be honorable. Whatever is just, we need to have a spirit which seeks justice. We do not take advantage of other people or, crush others with whatever we feel was right. Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise. Think about these things. So these are all godly characteristics. Even the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we see. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. These are all godly characteristics where we develop patience. So when we have the gift, when we have the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, we will always have excellence. We will always think about things which is worthy of praise. Okay. And it also says, in Colossians it says, Paul says, I am delighted to see how disciplined you are. So godly characteristic also means we are disciplined and we are firm in our faith. Otherwise, these godly characteristics will not be developed. These godly personalities will not be developed. Alright, so, so that is from the biblical perspective. Now, what is the actual definition? This I have derived from Collins Dictionary. So it says, the character of a person or place consists of all the qualities they have that make them distinct. Okay, mark the word distinct from other people or places. If something has a particular character, it has a particular quality. You use character to say what kind of person someone is. For example, if you say that someone is strange character, we say, no, he's a strange character. Very strange, creepy. Okay, you mean they are strange. Alright? So a person is identified by their unique distinct. So that means whatever character I may have, somebody else may not have it. Or somebody else may have another dominant characteristic, and that person may be known for it. So, can you ask your neighbor, what do you think I have a character of? What is my character like? Are you diligent? Are you patient? Are you loving? Even if you don't know, what do they look like? Okay. So it's nice. It's nice to see that you are, you know, discussing. Okay, good, nice. Thank you so much. So the character of a person. So now, I think the church is live, and you are developing the character. Okay, so have you seen the Heinz ketchup bottle? Heinz. Okay, do you know the story of Heinz? Who is Heinz? He's the founder, but he's a believer. Just like Colgate, you have Colgate, who's a believer, like that. Heinz is a believer. Now, let's. I just want to tell you, like, you know, about his personality, how he was, what he was doing. So, Henry Heinz, born in 1844, two German immigrants in Pittsburgh, PA, helped support his family as a teenager. You know how? By growing and selling vegetables in the family garden. After graduating from college and getting married, he started a business selling horseradish. Okay. Now, in 1875, a national financial collapse drove the young company into bankruptcy, which, you know, generally is predictable. Despite the legal freedom bankruptcy gave him, Heinz regarded each of the company's outstanding debts as a moral obligation and personally paid back every penny. Heinz went on to found the H.J. Heinz Company with its 57 varieties and became a leading American businessman. A devout Christian, he was known for the generous treatment of his employees and his generosity to Christian causes. Throughout his life, Heinz conducted his business and personal dealings with the same integrity that led him to pay back hundreds of thousands of dollars he technically did not owe. He began his will with these words, "I desire to set forth at the very beginning of this will as the most important item in it a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior." So in Proverbs 22:1 it says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." So it's always good to be known as, okay. So whenever you read Heinz's story, every time you see the ketchup bottle, you'll remember this guy was so honest. His integrity was known everywhere. So many times, wherever we go, maybe we are employees or whatever. So just now I said, how do people look at you? How are we recognized? Maybe at home, we may be recognized as this person, or this is his personality, or they are laid back, or they are not very hardworking. But how does God look at us, and how does God want us to be? So that is what the character that we need to be, we need to develop. Okay, so, so as you know, character is so important, because every time, forget about being in the church, everywhere we go, just like we saw, a startup company, we needed a person of high character, highly developed character. In the same way, whether we are believers or not believers, whether we are Christians or not Christians, character is held as the most important thing. Okay, so it is not like, oh, because I'm a Christian, I need to have this. No, irrespective of that, people look at us, like how we said about Heinz, or how we tell about Colgate, or how we tell about the Tatas, that they are very, very, you know, honest, or their value or their policy is about integrity. So we talk about it and we trust them. So a trust is built, or a faith can be built on a person who is absolutely full of good character. So riches cannot bring character. That is one thing that Proverbs tell us. Proverbs 22:1. Riches can only bring us good food, good clothing, shelter, everything. But even a poor man can have a good character. So character is not, it is not because of my economy, but character is built because of who I am, right? Who I want to be. So, how is a character built? God builds godly character. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Alright, so what does this verse underline? It underlines suffering. Okay, and it says that because of suffering we persevere. And because of perseverance, it is character. So character is not a short-term thing. It's not like, okay, fine, today I'm going to be honest, tomorrow I will be dishonest. It's not like that. Because if I have decided or if my training is to be an honest person, I will continuously be an honest person. I will persevere to be an honest person. No matter what happens, be it a bankruptcy, be it a famine or drought, but I will continue to be honest. I will continue to adhere to the principles, or I will continue to be disciplined. So that's what even the word of God says, that it is my perseverance that will make me a person with character, godly character. And character brings hope because I know that God will not allow any harm on me because of what, who God is making me into. So it's not because of me, but because of Jesus, I'm developing into this godly person, and eventually I will have hope of eternal life. Okay, and I will be known, and I will draw people into this good God. Alright, so because if I have a good character, people will be drawn, right? To the, they will say, how did this person? So many times when we look at a person, we say, oh, very good family. He comes from a very good family, or he comes from a very good background because of the person, the way they behave. Like that, we can exalt the name of God by the way we behave. If we behave in a certain manner in the church, and we behave in a certain manner at home, if we behave in a certain manner where we are working or studying, then we are not being honest, or we are not displaying godly character. We are displaying humanly character, which changes every time. But here it says that God builds godly character. That is, it is a consistent thing, and we have to persevere at it. Alright? Now, suffering. How does suffering bring a good character? Suppose if I am suffering constantly, there is sickness at home constantly, how will it produce character? Any thoughts on that? If I am constantly having suffering at home, how will it produce character? Any idea? You will be more humble. Maybe what it says is that suffering and trial brings more of patience. So it is one of the characters. So I will learn not to grumble at that time because I know this will, so I will have more faith. Okay, so that is one characteristic. Faith, perseverance. I will be more prayerful, right? I will, because I know I can't do anything. I will only pray about it. And also, I will be so busy with knowing what God wants me to do in this, in my family, that I will not be gossiping around, right? And I will build that character of getting involved in godly things rather than. So these are, like, I'm just giving an example of how I can build my character through sufferings, where I will be, I will know that, okay, this is for a reason. This is to develop my patience. This is to develop my perseverance. This is to develop my faith. This is to develop more love. Maybe there is a difficult person in my job or working place, and I don't know why this person always picks on me. So I will develop more of tolerance. I will develop more of, say, mannerisms where I can handle these situations rather than getting frustrated and angry. So that's how suffering produces a lot of characteristics. We may, if we take it negatively and we say, no, I don't want to, no, it's always like this, and I keep grumbling and getting irritated. That means I'm not learning from what is happening around me. I'm always focused on the problem. So whenever we are in a problem, let's not focus on the problem, but let's focus on what the problem is teaching us. What is it allowing us to become? How will I end up after having this difficulty? Like, for example, Heinz had a bankruptcy in the middle of a startup company. He could have easily said, I give up. But he developed the characteristic of integrity in that suffering and said, I'm going to face this trial honestly. And then his company is known to be an honest company. Then God builds our characteristic through teaching. Okay. So there are many people, many times what happens, people will teach us. For example, when we were in Kulaba, when we were in our mother church, we didn't know. When we go to somebody's house, we get something for them. So who teaches us? There are people around us who will disciple us and say that whenever you visit somebody's house, you take things, you do not like, you know, or we may say we don't overeat because we have to see, we have to be considerate about other people. So that's how character is built, where we say, okay, so this is how I'm teaching, okay, each other. So through teaching, my character is built. Then, as I said, circumstances or situations. Maybe I am put in another department. Okay, my circumstance is different there. So I will be developed as a different person there. Maybe I am put up in a different state or I am put up in a different environment. Okay, so there my character will be very different. So if I focus on what God is trying to teach me, I will definitely come out as a gem and a polished jewel. Then, yes, so people or places. Okay, people he places. So, for example, there are people in our lives, be it in our family, be it our employers, be it our friends, whoever he has kept, he will teach us character through that also. Now, my friend will, I will call a friend if the friend is very honest to me and says, hey, I don't think you should have spoken to that person that way. So that is again building up my character. So people he places is so much more important. How is this person teaching me? Or is this person only encouraging me to do the wrong thing? So we can discern that. All right. So when if that person is not helping me build my character, godly character, I mean, that means I am that relationship is not very healthy for me, or it is not giving me, adding any value to my godly relationship. So I need to see how I am learning from this person. For example, many times we learn from people about their good characteristics, so we can grasp from that. Now, after all this teaching, can somebody tell is there any other thing that the Bible teaches us about character? Okay, that Bible clearly, you know, marks it. What is charisma and what is character? Okay, so now, yeah. So what happens is, now when we were appointing people for our startup company, definitely we did not look at the looks or the way the person is. We did not say, oh, they should be dynamic or they should be this, if they should be. But we definitely said about their skills, their loyalty. Okay, so charisma is a specific, you know, attraction. Okay, attraction, whereas character may not be as attractive as you may see it. Will come out as we work with them. Okay, so charisma is very temporary. You can immediately see, oh wow, this person is so dynamic, but we really don't know whether this person is really loving, honest, good. We don't know. But whereas a character, you may feel that, oh, this person, I don't know whether he will be able to do the job or not, but let me try out. And eventually we will come to know, oh yes, this person is of a good character, of a godly personality. Now, how do we know this? That God honors people with good quality or good, character, godly character. In 1 Samuel 16:7 it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him." This was actually David's older brother that we are talking about. "For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Alright? And then we see, so we'll go on to the story of a very famous story of Saul and David. How character versus charisma, okay, in God's sight. What was it all about? So there was a Benjamite. Now we're talking about Saul here. There was a Benjamite, a man of standing whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah of Benjamin. Kish had a son named Saul. And how did he look? As handsome a young man as could be found anywhere in Israel. He was a head taller than anyone else. Means he was a tall guy, he was a handsome guy. And as soon as Samuel looked at him and he said, "Yes, you know, this is, he is fit to be our king." But what happens over the period of time? Can somebody, so if we have our Bibles, I have purposely not put it here because so that we can all turn our pages, hear some sounds or look into what is the Bible saying. So we will look into 1 Samuel. Can someone read that? Who's got the mic? Okay.
Samuel said to Saul, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put out the dead men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camel and donkeys." So Saul summoned the men and mustered them to tell him, 200,000 foot soldiers and 2,000 men from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Kenites, "Go away, leave the Amalekites, so that I do not destroy you along with them, for you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur to the east of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Anak and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lamb, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak they totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and he has not carried out my instruction." Samuel was troubled and he cried out to the Lord.
So what do we see here? We see a handsome young man, right? Saul, how was he? Good looking. He was a head taller, right? And he was the first king of Israel. And what happens? One instruction that God gives him, that destroy them. For a reason, no? God is telling, because he's God. God knows the hearts of men. So for a reason, God is telling him. But what does Saul decide to do? Saul says, okay, I will allow them to, I will spare their life. And then, what does God say eventually? "I regret." Okay, how many of us would like to hear this from God? Okay, "I regret that I have made Saul king. I regret." So, I don't think it's a very pleasing statement to hear when we are, like, you know, in God's kingdom. "I regret that this person is in this place. I regret." Because what God has instructed us to do, and we are not doing it. Okay. We may have 1,000 reasons. Oh, justification. These Amalekites are like this. These Amalekites did this. Agag king helped me when I was this thing. But when God is telling us, you go ahead, destroy them. And we are not doing it. Probably the very first thing to build godly character is listening. Okay, can we tell our neighbor? Listening. Yes, listening is an underlined statement. Okay, we listen, then only we grow. Okay, we do not say, oh no, no. So we say, no, nowadays it's the, alpha generation. So we have to give an explanation to them as to what, you know, why we are telling. No, I can't a justification as to why I'm doing this. It is not building my character. It is building me up as a logical person. But my character is not building up. So my character will build only if I am listening, maybe the instructions of my God, maybe the instructions of people. As I said, God will place people around us. And if we do not listen, then we will end up like Saul. Like, and Samuel became angry and he cried out to the Lord all that night. So people who are around us can actually see us, okay, going down. But they can't do anything because they are only obeying God and telling you, don't do this, don't do this. And only if we want to truly, truly, truly build our godly character, then we will listen and we will obey. Right? So, because even in the previous slide, it said that think about all those things which is holy, which is pure, which, and it also says, you know, I heard that you're disciplined, you have faith. So, if we want all that, then the first step to every godly character is listening. Now, we will go ahead and read from 1 Samuel 16, 1 to 12. Can somebody read this next chapter? 1 Samuel 16, it's the next chapter. 1 Samuel 16, 1 to 12.
The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he'll kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They said, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourself and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one."
What do we see here? Okay, so each time, every son, Jesse's son was passing by, God said, "Not this, not this, not this." Whom did he choose? A person who was with the sheep. He was tending the sheep. So, for that, when we saw Saul, he had a different interaction with Samuel. Whereas when we see David, he had a very different interaction with Samuel. What do we learn from this? So we see that Saul had charisma, whereas David, if you see, he had character. Probably God also saw that I can teach him to have a godly character. Probably that teachability, that is what, number one, listening. Number two is teachability. For example, if David would have been like Saul, saying that, no, I will do whatever I feel like, then I don't think God would have said, I have found the man after my own heart. So he would have said, okay, this is another king, we can try him out. Or maybe he wouldn't have ever been chosen also. Because God looks at the heart and he says, so many times we may feel, oh, I am not as good at that person. I am not as skilled as that person. But for all you know, God has chosen you to be the king. For all you know, you may be tending that sheep, that dirty, stinky sheep, sitting there alone. Maybe you are doing your job so honestly that God says, this is who I want. Because he's tending his sheep so, and he is so concerned about what I have given to him. He's so loyal to what small thing I have given to him. I think I can hand him over the kingdom because I think he will be faithful. Just like in the Bible it says, those who are faithful in the little things, God will give them greater things. So many times we may feel, oh, I am not capable. I don't know how I will be able to handle this whole project, a whole department, because God has seen that faithfulness in you, or God has seen that loyalty in you, or maybe it's just another way of training you to have a godly character. So God gives you those opportunities and privileges only if we are listening and if we are teachable. But if we are rigid like Saul and say that, no, I am very handsome and I am very intelligent, I know what to do, then I don't think we will be ever able to be like David, who built the entire empire of Israel, and he made the city of David, and he trained his son to build the temple of God. Character is long term, whereas charisma is very short lived. And eventually, if you do things with your charisma, if you try to manipulate and do things, it will be, you know what, by seen by people, and we will only be caught with that. But if we have a character which is seen throughout, because it's a long-term thing, people will acknowledge you and you will be known for it, for even after, you know, many years, you will be known. Yes, that person who was extremely good, who was extremely faithful, loyal, honest. All right? So character can be trusted. Yes, this we read. So character is long-term, character is dependable, trustworthy, and a person with godly character is teachable. That is why in RHC we feel that, we believe that, it's one of our values, that skills can be, you know, we can manage the skills, but we are looking for people with character so that we can teach them the skills. Okay, people with good character, godly character can be taught, okay, and thereby produce godly leaders just like David. Alright, so people with character can be relied upon and given responsibility, unlike people with charisma. So we are not saying charisma is wrong. A person with charisma can also have a good character. So that's an excellent combination. But many times what we have seen is people with charisma, because they're getting things so easily, they don't work. Okay, they don't work or put in efforts to build in their character because things are so easy for them. But if we have charisma and character, it's an excellent combination, because we are not only telling them that God is interested, you know, in, you know, we are telling them that this is how God has built us, and we can attract more people, or we can help more people to become, have godly character with charisma. Okay. Now, finally, we have Jesus. What do you think? Jesus had character, charisma, or both? Let's read. This is from Isaiah. Before even Jesus was born, he was told how he is going to be. Who is going to read? I think one person from the last bench can read. Last chair.
He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their face. He was despised and we held him in low esteem.
So where is the charisma in this? Clearly says that, you know, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. And it also says he was despised and we held him in low esteem. A person with charisma cannot be held in low esteem. They will always be held in high esteem. They'll say, wow, this person is coming. Wow, so good. It adds a cherry on the cake, kind of, you know, that attitude. But when we see Jesus, what did he do? He did not project himself as, oh, I am the, you know, prince. He is actually the prince. But what happened was, he's the king of kings. But he showed himself as a very humble man. Okay? And he came down and he was despised. He was rejected. And he had nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. But what attracted us? So when I ask you, or when we recall, what is it in Jesus that attracts us to him? What is it? What is it? Can you tell your name? What is it in Jesus that attracts us to him? Love. Yes, you can tell your neighbor. Nothing? There's nothing that you can share? But I thought employer and employee could share a lot of things. Yes. So Jesus is, there's so much. He showed us the perfect character. People were drawn to him because of authority, the authority that he had. Okay, so, and he had wisdom. He performed miracles. His love for people, which was so radical. He would just go to different places, different people, he would interact. And he would say, come, follow me. Or, go, don't sin. These are the words that he used. He says, come on, get up and walk. So much of authority. So much of, you know, so when people looked at him, they had nothing to point finger at. They could not, the Bible very clearly says, they could not see anything wrong in him or anything to judge him. So even when he was crucified, when Pilate said, I have nothing to say about him, means he was held in high, you know, esteem. He was held in high esteem, not because of charisma, but because of character. And we are drawn to him. Okay, just like it says, we can't hide anything from God. Character shines in the dark. So when we are alone, what are we thinking of? Whom are we, what are we plotting? Or what are we doing? Whom are we talking about? Alright? So character shines in the dark. And the best thing that draws us to Jesus is the cross, his humility, his sacrifice, everything that he had, he gave to us. It is not about me, or it is not about how, you know, well I look, but it is about the godly character that I can draw people to this cross. So that's why the Renewed Hope community, or that's why it is one of our values, where we say that, you know, we do not look at skills, but we look at the character. But skills can be built, okay? And charisma can be built, but character is the utmost important, because that's what even Jesus showed us, that it was him who went on the cross, but he had nothing, no spot of, you know, any wrong in him that people could point finger at. So maybe God is calling us to be that people of character, maybe in our workplace, maybe. So far, we have not shown that godly character. But maybe from today onwards, as we look into our hearts, we analyze, we reflect, maybe we should be called as people of godly character. And when they look at us, they will see the cross in us. They will see Jesus in us, not the charisma. Charisma can be built, but character is the utmost thing that we need to desire and have. Amen. Call upon Mitchell.